AFI, AM 640, and live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. I'm Dean Sharp, the house whisperer, custom home builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. That's what we do every weekend for you right here on our fine program, Saturdays from 6 to 8, Sunday mornings from 9 to 11. Today on our fine program, we're going to be talking about the holidays. Specifically, going to give you some tidbits out of my pre-holiday checklist. Here it is, the end of October. My, how time flies, really, when every day is just an extension of one long day since March. But yeah, here we are at the end of October, just a few days left, a week before Halloween, and then boom, we're into November, and we're staring right down the barrel of Thanksgiving and the rest of the winter holidays. So there are things for us to do, responsibilities to fulfill in regards to our homes, and I have a few of them listed today, and we're just going to kind of jump around, hop down the pre-holiday checklist, things for you to do with your home today. That is what is on our schedule. And of course, your calls, which is always my favorite part of the show. Once again, our crack team of broadcast professionals having the most amount of fun allowed by law in the state of California. We have assembled here my design partner and favorite human being on planet Earth, who literally just got up and walked into the studio. I was going to let you sleep. I was letting you sleep in this morning. Tina is here, my buddy. Engineer Sam is on the board. Producer Morgan is on the phones.
Howdy.
And at the news desk, Robert Newton.
What's up?
Most importantly, you are here, and I can't wait to hear from you. So, coming up at the bottom of this hour, around about 6:30, your calls, anything you want to talk about regarding your home today. No topic is off limits, as long as it has something to do with your home, because, you know, if you want to call me about that weird bump on your knee, I'll talk to you about it. I just can't guarantee that I know what to do about it. So, there you have it. The number to reach me at, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. 833-2-ASK-DEAN. Give me a call, jump into the queue, and let's talk about your house on the air today. All right. It is time to relax. Take a deep cleansing breath here on this Saturday morning. The sun is not up, but we are, my friend. And so let's make the most of it. Take a sip of your favorite warm beverage of choice. Mine is coffee this morning. No big surprise. What is today? This is Butter Lovers blend from Old Town Roasting, oldtownroasting.com. Here, hang on a second. You know what? One of the best things about fall, everything tastes better in the fall. It just does. It is that's a scientific fact, I think. All right, let's dive in. I'm going to start with one of my biggest pet peeves and the thing that I will annoy you about until the end of time. Furnace filters, HVAC filters, whatever you want to call them. The filter for your central heating and air conditioning system. You know, it is a very, very complex system. Complex in the sense that your HVAC system is not something that the average homeowner, or even the advanced homeowner, to be quite honest, is qualified to get in and fiddle with. I mean, you're not going to put a vacuum pump on your refrigerant lines. You're not going to bleed out your system, recharge it with refrigerant. You are probably not going to replace pumps or motors. You are probably not going to clean the coil yourself, and you may not even know any of the things that I just talked about and recognize those terms. Case in point. So, the one thing that every homeowner can do to preserve the life of their heating and air conditioning system is the one thing that most homeowners neglect to do, and that is change out your filter regularly. Now, you're going to find your filter, depending on how your system is built, you're going to find your filter somewhere near or built into the return air vent. The return air vent is the really big one. You may have more than one, depending on the size of your home. The really big vent that actually doesn't blow air into the house, but it actually, maybe you didn't know this, but it actually is sucking air out of the house and into the system. It's drawing air from your airspace, running it through the system, and that air then gets redistributed out into the vents. And how can you tell? Once you turn the fan on or your system for heating or cooling, either one, you could put a piece of paper in front of all the other registers, all the other vents, and find that that paper is blowing around. If you put a piece of paper in front of your return air vent, it actually sucks it right to it and will hold it to next to the vent. That's the return air vent. And behind that vent, if it's down on the floor, down lower on a wall, up on a ceiling, most of the time is the filter for the system, which should be relatively easy to change. Now, if you have what we call an upright furnace means, you know, like down the hallway in a closet, you open up a closet door or a cabinet door, and there's your furnace system, then probably your filter is down at the bottom of that stack. There's a little slot for where the filter goes, which, by the way, is just on the backside of the return air. So either way, that's where it is. You need to know where your filter is, and then you need to get it changed. Every 2 to 3 months. 3 months is the max. That's the outside. I would prefer, especially in the time of COVID, to get that filter changed every 8 weeks. And you know what? I've got a couple other things to tell you about that filter, how it is going to help you stay healthy through this fall and winter season, because you know the CDC is handing out some pretty severe warnings about not only flu, but the combination of flu and COVID, and the fact that we're all going to be indoors more often, and so on and so forth. Things that you need to know regarding your HVAC system and anything that you might be able to supplement it with in order to have your best shot of staying flu and COVID free throughout the fall and winter. So we'll touch on that again when we come back. I am so glad you have joined me this morning. Hang tight. We're just getting started. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, The House Whisperer. That's me. KFI. Dean Sharp, The House Whisperer, at your service. You are listening to Home, where every week we help you better understand the place where you are living, which hopefully is at home. And not under an overpass, or, I don't know, you could live in a tent. A tent would be home. I mean, technically, home is where the heart is, you know. Tina's like, no. Hey, coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, it's time to get off your tuchus and go to the phone. We're going to talk to you if you call. So the number to reach me, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. We're going to do that hopefully next segment. If I don't just run in with the list here, 833-2-ASK-DEAN, the number to call. Anything you want to talk about regarding your home today, I am here. Let's see if we can figure it out together. In the meantime, we are kind of bouncing around today on a pre-holiday checklist for your home. We have some extra things to take into account this holiday season, obviously, because of COVID. Because of lockdowns, because of all of those concerns. I say lockdowns. I don't think anybody is actually in lockdown at this moment, not here in Southern California. There are restrictions, but we're not under any severe lockdowns. There are simply restrictions as to what can and can't happen. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the last I heard, when it comes to holiday gathering, it's up to 3 households is permitted. That's the recommendation. 3 households for your holiday gathering, but those 3 households should be take a serious look at keeping themselves self-quarantined before the gathering, right, to make sure that they're not bringing anything into the mix. So people are still going to be getting together for the holidays. Maybe it's not going to be as big. Maybe family is not going to be coming from all over the country, but it's still happening. And there are things for us to do. Now, even if you're not having family together for the holidays, you're still going to be spending more time inside. And there is a concern, a completely valid concern, that the combination of cold and flu season combined with COVID could make things very difficult. So what was I talking about before the break? Changing out the furnace filter or the HVAC system filter for your home, something that gets neglected, something that needs to be done. So let me give you some insight, some more insight in that regard. First of all, how to do it. How to do it is simply this. Get yourself, you know, it's the 21st century. Write a reminder in your calendar, you know, on your smartphone, a repeating reminder every 8 weeks, every 10 weeks, 12 weeks at the most, every 3 months. If you're not changing that filter out every 3 months, you are not doing justice. You are not serving your HVAC system, and you could very well be shortening its life. The filter isn't primarily for you, by the way. Everybody thinks, you know, it's fine. Our air is clean. We'll let the filter go. No. It's not primarily for you. The filter on your system keeps your system internally clean. And as the filter starts to build up, it's just kind of like constricted lungs or constricted arterial system. It becomes a problem. And the pump, the motors, everything has to work harder for your system to breathe, and that is what ages your system prematurely. So you do that. Now, there's a system, they're not a sponsor of the show, let me clarify that, and there's more than one of these services out there. Tina and I subscribe to filterby.com, filterby, as in, you know, buy it, .com. Filterby.com has really good quality filters in every range, right? I sound like a commercial, it kind of is, because I love this service. And you just go to filterby.com and you figure out the size of your filter and you just do a subscription. And, you know, the cool thing that happens is you subscribe like, okay, I want one filter every 3 months or one filter every 8 weeks or two filters every 8 weeks, whatever. And they just show up. They show up on your doorstep. And guess what? When they show up, you change it. Boom, done. That's it. It's the best reminder in the world. I come home. Tina's like, the filter came today. Okay, and I take the whopping 20 seconds that it takes to change out the filter, and you are done. This is the year to start stepping up your filter buying to like the the $20+ range and get a HEPA filter. HEPA stands for High Efficiency Particulate Arresting Filter, and guess what? Yeah, they capture particles even smaller than viruses. That includes COVID. Okay, now that doesn't mean it's going to COVID-proof your house. It does mean this, though. The air that passes through your filter, the filter will scrub it for viruses. That makes your home a safer place for you to be and makes it a safer place for multiple people to be in. And when you are having that gathering, I don't care whether it's warm outside or whether it's just the perfect temperature not to be running the system or cold, doesn't matter. When you have your family gatherings this holiday season, you should at least be running the fan on your home system. In other words, circulate the air, draw that air out, run it through the HEPA filter, and then put it back into the house cleaned and filtered. Does that make sense? All right, there's a couple other concerns that I've got that you should think about, and that is you can always get an air purifier. An air purifier helps. That's an individual room situation primarily, but if you've got a larger group of people in a room, why not put an air filter or an air purifier in the room? Or you might want to consider for this holiday season and everyone after it, a humidifier. Not just a room humidifier, but maybe even a whole house humidifier connected to your system. We'll talk about that a little bit and why that may be the key of you not getting the flu this year. We'll talk about that and take your calls when we return. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes.
Adult Halloween, whiskey and bacon.
Without one to love.
Did you hear that?
Bears heavy on my mind.
We are promoting, apparently, as a station, we're promoting an adult version of Halloween in which everybody just gives out whiskey and bacon. Which, granted, is a good idea. But around here, that's just Tuesday. And Thursday and Saturday. Sometimes Sunday. KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. That's this guy right here, me. Good to talk to you this morning. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to go to the phones and see who wants to talk about their home today. But I want to finish up this one thought in our pre-holiday checklist on your HVAC system filter. And that is, we talked about the filters. Let me now talk to you about a humidifier for the home as a way of reducing the possibility of contracting the flu or having COVID, kind of wandering around inside your house this holiday season. You may or may not know this, and that's why I'm going to tell you, that optimal relative humidity to minimize the lifespan, if you want to call it that, of a virus, is 40% to 60% relative humidity. So the target kind of is 50%. 50% relative humidity, that's right in the middle. Anywhere from 40 to 60 is in the safe zone. When air inside your home gets exceptionally humid, studies have shown that viruses hang around more often and they stay longer. And when it gets exceptionally dry, and that, by the way, is the explanation most of the time for why wintertime is cold and flu season. It's because we're trapped inside with viruses that are hanging out with us inside the house. And because the heater is running, and the heater is running, and the heater is running, the air keeps getting dried out, dried out, dried out. And the more it gets dried out, the lower the humidity drops inside the house. And when it drops below 40%, viruses hang on and they stick around on surfaces and in the air longer. 40 to 60% humidity. And so as a way of safeguarding yourself for this fall season, you may want to consider either a room humidifier or actually having a humidifier installed as a part of, in the main throw of your HVAC system. You heard it here first. The last study that confirmed this, and there have been many, was a study just a couple of years ago at the University of Carolina. Anyway, 50% relative humidity inside air quality vastly improves. Now, you add to that a HEPA filter in your system that's clean and ready to go, and you are doing everything you can to keep your inside air clean. All right. Just need to get that out and done so we can move on to the rest of the list. That's right. The more you know. Why don't we talk to Seth? Hey, Seth, welcome home.
Hey, Dean, thank you. My question is, about 11 years ago, I had a new heater installed, and the heater came with what I was told was an electrostatic filter that I would never have to change or maintain. So my question is, were they BSing me, or should I get up there and look at changing it, or what should I do?
Okay. Really good question, Seth. Thank you for that. Okay, so here's the situation. You were not told, half of that sentence was incorrect. An electrostatic air filter is basically a permanent air filter. That's how they're sold. And it's debatable, actually, how effective they are in compared to regular disposable filters. But an electrostatic air filter is fine, no issues. It is not one that you change out. However, the second part of that instruction they gave to you is absolutely wrong. You don't have to change it or maintain it. Here's the thing. If you own an electrostatic air filter and you lay down the big cash for that to have one that you don't have to replace, you still have to clean it. It has to be rinsed and cleaned. And so the point is, there is no escaping for a homeowner. No escape for regular 8 to 12 week maintenance and attention of your heating and air conditioning system. So if you have a disposable filter, that means every 8 to 12 weeks, you change it out. If you have an electrostatic permanent air filter, it means every 8 to 12 weeks, you get that thing rinsed and washed, because there is simply dust and contaminants and all sorts of stuff moving through our air. There is no filter on the planet that I'm aware of that is equipped to burn off that which sticks to it. And so, yeah, your filter up there, if it hasn't been touched in 10 years, hopefully it's still salvageable, but it has got to get cleaned, Seth. It needs to get cleaned right away. And then get yourself on a regular maintenance schedule. It does have to be maintained. It doesn't have to be replaced if it's an electrostatic one. Thanks for your call, buddy. I appreciate that. Let's try and fit Carlos in before we're done here. Carlos, welcome home.
Hey, morning, Dean. How are you guys?
Good, good.
This is Carlos from Irvine. You guys, you and Tina came out about a few months ago and then a design consult.
Oh, and, hey, Carlos. How you doing, buddy? Yeah, how can I help you this morning?
So, yeah, we're in the process of doing the renovations on the master bathroom, and we moved the ceilings from 8 feet to vaulted, so it's pretty big now. So I'm thinking, or even the contractor has suggested that we need to move more air in there. And there's just one small AC heating vent going in, feeding the room. And we're thinking about adding a second vent. And is it easy enough to splice that into another vent to room? The roof is still wide open, so there's no drywall, so we can probably put the vent anywhere in the room.
All right, buddy. You know what? I just looked over. I'm up against a break. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to answer Carlos's question when we come back. Can you hang on, bud? So can you just add more vents to your system if you want to get more airflow into the room? Let's talk about that when we return. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Welcome home. All right, before the break, we were talking to Carlos. Let's get Carlos back on the line. Carlos, are you still there, my friend?
Yes, I am, Dean. Thanks.
All right, so Carlos, you are remodeling a bathroom, the upstairs bathroom. You vaulted the ceiling. Great idea. And now you're wondering, it only had one little piddly AC vent running into it. And you want to know, can you tap into the system and bring more airflow in there? Because you've got the room and the ceiling's open, and that's all well and good. So I put you on hold because we were up against a break. Hopefully, our 12 listeners were pondering during the break, what's Dean going to say about this? How shall we do it? It's very simple, actually, and very complex all at the same time. It's simply this. Yes, great idea. You and I are the kinds of people where we would look at a situation like that and sort of intuit, like, gee, this bathroom is so voluminous now, it doesn't seem like that vent is going to do enough. That's where our qualifications start and stop. Then, once the question has been raised for your question, buddy, and have a great weekend. And good luck on the rest of that remodel. It's a beautiful bathroom, and it's going to look even better as we go. Okay, where are we at? On the list, Okay, I finally got through AC filters. I spent extra time talking about AC and furnace filtration just because it is so important for the holidays coming up that you clean the air inside your house, consider an air purifier, and also a humidifier, which hopefully was new news for you and something to consider that will keep air inside the house healthy. When we come back, let's continue to bounce through the rest of the list, including one of my favorite topics, the deep fall cleaning. Spring cleaning? Nothing. I don't even care if you spring clean your house, but I do care about a deep fall cleaning. I'll tell you why when we come back. There is so much more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer on KFI. KFI.
Alabama, Arkansas.
AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home.
Holy moly, me, oh my.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, custom home builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. Hey, thanks for tuning in as we begin the second hour of our fine program. I am here with you live every weekend, every Saturday morning from 6 to 8, every Sunday from 9 to 11. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, round about 7:30-ish, we're going to go back to the phones, find out what's going on in your home today. Give me a call if you've got a question, anything. DIY question, a design question, a construction issue. 833-2-ASK-DEAN is the number to call. 833-2-ASK-DEAN. Also, follow us on social media. There's always interesting stuff happening there. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all three, any of the three. Snapchat, Grind. No, we're not on those. Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, at Home with Dean. Same handle for all of them. Check us out. We've got some interesting stuff there. And don't miss another episode of the House Whisperer podcast right here on the iHeartRadio app, the free iHeartRadio app, or iTunes, or wherever your purveyor of podcasts is found. You just do a little search for Home with Dean Sharp, and guess what? Gaboom. There they are. Hundreds of episodes, hundreds of topics, all arranged by topics, all about your house. Every facet, every consideration, every conceivable. We've got 4 years worth of podcasts stacked up there in perpetuity, all there waiting for you to listen to anytime, 24/7, day or night. At this point, you could just spend the whole year with me. So I don't know who would want to do that, but you could, I suppose. All right. Back to the pre-holiday checklist. We find ourselves here at the end of October, believe it or not. And we're staring down the barrel of Thanksgiving, Christmas, the winter holidays up ahead of us, all there and coming fast. And I know everybody's been attention has been turned to the election. And on. So you know what? That election is happening on the 3rd of November, and then boom, we're in November. I mean, next Saturday is Halloween, right? Last day of October, 1 week from today, only 1 week left. So now is the time to get the house ready for the holidays. Whether you're hosting some family or friends, up to three households here in California has been approved and allowed, or whether you're just going on your own with your family, nevertheless, it's time to get the house ready for fall. And I have on my list here something that I talk about every year, and that is it's time to do it, if you haven't done it already, a deep fall cleaning of the house. I know the traditional thing is to say spring cleaning, and I get that. If we were to live in a heavy wintry climate, spring cleaning is a thing, right? Because you've been cooped up inside for all of these months, and it's time to throw the windows open and clean it all in. And I'm not denying the value of spring cleaning when the holidays and winter is over. But so many things are more beneficial to clean in the fall before you go into it. Why not nuke the house and get it done before you go in, especially critical fall areas? What is a critical fall area, Dean? It's the kitchen. Let's just face it. That's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 months straight, is just eating and cooking meals and the like. So fall cleaning comes down to things like clean out the fridge now, right now. Well, not, yeah, right now. The coffee maker, white vinegar, run it through the coffee maker. That coffee, you know, your coffee maker is disgusting. You know that. And you haven't cleaned it in forever. It's time to clean out the coffee maker or just get yourself a French press like we do and clean it every day. The filters, not on your HVAC system, but on your hood over your cooktop, those things need to be pulled. They need to be washed. Let's talk about cleaning your oven and the cooktop. Well, the cooktop's pretty self-explanatory. Believe me, I've been in your home, seen a lot of homes. Most of you need to clean your cooktop. I'm sorry. It just gets grody. It does. And now is the time to get it clean. What about the oven? A couple of things about your oven. I would prefer that you don't subject yourself to the crazy chemicals that are in heavy-duty oven cleaners. Now, some people just are like, I'm just going to nuke it out and it's fine. But there's a way to do it if you take the time without having to resort to that. And you know what the secret formula is? Baking soda and white vinegar. You mix baking soda and white vinegar, and here's how you know that you've got the mixture right. You don't have to pull up some fancy recipe somewhere. Mix baking soda and vinegar until you get a paste like toothpaste kind of consistency paste. And then spread that paste all over the inside of the oven and let it sit overnight. Let it do its thing. You know, it's basically the equivalent, the very natural, very sanitary equivalent of scrubbing bubbles, because the vinegar is an acid. And acid reacts with the baking soda and really gets it going. And so the reaction between the two is fantastic. And after an entire night, you can start wiping it down. You're going to find, amazingly enough, that a lot of what is crudding up the inside of the oven is actually going to come off. Then, once it's fully cleaned from that paste, if you want to send your oven through its self-cleaning mode, it's not a bad idea. Most ovens have a pretty effective self-cleaning mode. Most ovens want you to take the racks out, by the way, so don't overlook that. But check your manual to make sure to find out what the instructions are. The only thing is, I would avoid self-cleaning cycle on older ovens. You know, self-cleaning is pretty hard on an oven. I mean, it really is. It is taking it way up above the level that it normally bakes at. And so if you have an older oven that's just sort of limping along and, you know, like, well, this thing is 20 years old and I don't, you know, we want it to try and get two or three more years out of it, then do the elbow grease cleaning on the inside of the oven and don't necessarily send it through its self-cleaning cycle. While you're at it, check your oven's temperature accuracy. This is a huge issue when it comes to most ovens. A lot of ovens come from the factory slightly off. So what are you saying, Dean? You know, I set the temperature on the oven and it does its thing. Yeah, but if, you know, most good cooks know that we need to keep track of whether the dials of our oven are actually reading the temperature properly. And all you have to do is get one of those cheapo oven hanging thermometers, or you could use a digital thermometer if you want. Get that inside the oven, set the oven to like 350, 300, or 350, and then wait to see what the thermometer actually reads. And then if you find that there's a difference, sometimes there can be a 10, 15 degree difference, that's going to affect your cooking. It's going to affect all sorts of baking recipes. It could be the reason why things aren't turning out the way they should be in your oven. Then there is an instruction in your oven's owner's manual. I guarantee it. And if your oven is older and you've lost the manual, I'm sure you can find it online. You just get the model number of your oven and do a search for that manual online. But there are instructions as to how you can tweak and adjust the temperature setting in your oven to get it realigned with 350 on the dial means 350 inside. There you go. All right. Does that make sense? Good. When we come back, let's talk about decluttering. And also, don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, around about 7:30, we're going to go to the phones. 833-2-ASK-DEAN is the number to call. So give me a call, jump into the queue, and let's talk about your home when the time comes. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Hang tight. A lot more to come. Your home with Dean Sharp. KFI, Dean Scharf, the House Whisperer, at your service. You are listening to Home on this fine, overcast, cool Saturday, October 24th morning. We're here with you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8, Sundays from 9 to 11. And today, we're just very casually enjoying a trip through the House Whisperer's pre-holiday checklist for your home, because it's the end of October and it's time to get some stuff done before the holidays hit. So where are we on the list here? Oh, here's one. Declutter. Yeah, you know what? I could spend a whole show preaching at you about this, so I'm not going to. Don't worry. I'm not going to guilt you for more than the next 20 seconds. Your house has too much stuff in it. What are the odds that what I just said is true? Probably 98%. Your house has too, we all have too much stuff. My house has too much stuff in it. And Tina and I are considered to be relative minimalist when it comes to things. We all have too much stuff, and it's getting in the way. It's getting in the way of your peace of mind. It's getting in the way of the clarity of your thinking and your emotions inside your house. It's also going to get in the way of everything else when you pile on top of that stuff, holiday decorations, and then the people who are going to be in addition in your home this holiday time. So, declutter. And declutter isn't just putting it in a storage crate and moving it out into the garage. It's really purging. Just purge, reconsider, clear out. I get it. You know what? But here's the thing. Your house cannot be a repository of a memento for every single meaningful event in your life. It just can't. It can't be that way. Okay, that's what your brain is for. That's what photo albums are for, those kinds of things. Use the William Morris test. William Morris was a British designer, textile designer, a poet, a novelist. He said very famously this: have nothing in your home that you do not absolutely know to be useful or to believe to be beautiful. Okay, and the standard for beauty should be a very, very high bar, not just, oh, that's a lovely gift card. I think I'll keep that sitting on the mantle for the next 18 months. No, 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 no. And you know why I say this? Because I want your house to be beautiful. I don't want it to be overburdened by too much stuff everywhere. Nobody's looking, okay? Nobody's looking at it, because one of the fundamental rules of design is when there are too many things to look at, you don't look at anything. Okay? Does that make sense? Design is about good design, good art. It's about hierarchy. And so you set one thing out or two things out for people to notice, and then you let the rest of it go. I'm sorry to have to be the one to constantly tell you this, but it's just true, and you'll feel so much better when you declutter, especially now because you're about to put another layer on the house of decorations for the holidays, okay, and more people. Clear it out. Just filter it through. All right. I promise. I'm moving on. You may not know this little trick, but, you know, as the weather turns, and it's gonna, this week was a good reminder, it's eventually gonna turn. I promise. Now is a good time to reverse the direction of your ceiling fans. What? What are you talking about? Yeah, your ceiling fan has a switch on it that reverses the direction of the blades. During the summer, we want that fan blowing air down on you, okay? Standard direction that most people expect. But as things start to get cooler, in order to save energy in your home, you can run your ceiling fans, but run it in the reverse direction. So what it's doing is actually blowing air up against the ceiling, thereby taking the hot air which has risen to the ceiling and pushing it away from the ceiling, redistributing it throughout the room. Reverse the ceiling fan direction. While you're at it, while you're up there, exactly. While you're at it up there, let's replace the batteries in the smoke detectors. Let's make sure that they're in good shape, and your carbon monoxide detector. Let's also make sure that we've got fire extinguishers in the house, okay? At least a couple, one near the kitchen, one for the bedrooms, you know. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's just one of those little, you know, things to check off the list. They're so inexpensive. You go get one for $15, $20 at the big box store, the hardware store. Just have a couple of fully charged fire extinguishers. And if you have a fire extinguisher, make sure it's still charged. There's a dial on the side. Make sure that dial is still in the green zone, okay? Let's step outside for a moment. Fall This is the time when some of our trees are going to be dropping leaves. Here's what I don't want to see. Your trash bins full of leaves. You know what? Leaves, that's God's mulch for your yard. Don't just scrape them all up, throw them in a trash bin, and send them off to the landfill where they do nothing to return their benefit to the planet. Mulch your fall leaves and put them back in your soil. If you have, I'll put it this way. There is a device that you can purchase that will do this job for you so well, and that is an electric leaf blower. A good quality electric leaf blower comes with not just the blower end of the tube, but also that weird attachment, the bag that hangs off the back, and then a much larger diameter tube that actually goes on the fan impeller exit. Do you know that the best way to handle the leaves that have fallen around your property is not to blow them with the leaf blower? Take that thing off. Put on the larger tube, vacuum them up, suck them up into the leaf blower. Because here's what happens. As you suck them up through the leaf blower, they have to pass through the impeller blades of the leaf blower. They will be chopped into little bits that get deposited in that bag on your shoulder, at which point all you have to do is unzip the bag and redistribute it in your planting beds. You have pre-mulched the leaves that your trees are dropping. One more thing about your trees. Now is the time to trim them. Now, in the fall. Not the spring, which is what so many people have been led to believe because they see the city pruning trees in the spring. The city just prunes trees when they can. Don't look to them as an example of how to do landscaping properly. Your trees are about to go into a dormant period. Whether they drop their leaves or not, every plant slows down in the winter. Now is the time to clip it back because you won't be shocking it. It's already falling asleep. Okay, the tree is falling asleep. Now is the time to prune it back, to clip it back without shock it, and then give it the whole winter to kind of get used to its new hairdo. And by spring, it will come back and feel fantastic and be growing in all the ways that you want. What you don't want to do is trim a tree in springtime, right when it's trying to go through its growth spurt. That's when you're going to shock a tree. Fall, now is the time to get the trees trimmed. All right, when we come back, let's go to the phones. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Helping you figure out that place where you live. It's time to go back to the phones. Let's find out what's going on in your home today. Let's talk to John. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it
hey John.
Oh, yes.
John.
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Who's been working out? Who's been working out?
Oh, I just got to work, my buddy. Sorry,
all
I didn't
right.
know.
All right. Right. How can I help you? How can I help you?
But I got a simple kind of question, I guess. I'm a part-time general contractor, but I don't know, trouble having day labor. Do you ever, what do you do for, laborers digging holes and doing small tasks that aren't really skilled? You know what I mean?
Day laborers, yeah, day laborers. Day laborers are a tricky situation because for a number of reasons. One is because COVID has dried up work for a lot of day laborers, and so it has been a tough few months for day laborers as we go. Another issue with day laborers is in the current administration, not a lot of day laborers have felt like putting themselves out there and exposing themselves to immigration services and so on. I don't want to get into the politics of that. I'm just saying it has affected the availability of day laborers. But there are typically a couple of ways you go. The best thing you could probably do if you're looking for a day laborer for your area is to actually go online and literally put in a search, your city, where can I find day laborers? There may be a day laborer center in your city or near your city. That's my best recommendation, because day laborer centers will do their best to verify IDs so that they're not inadvertently offering up illegal immigrants work and so on, and get into trouble. And it's safe for those laborers who are wanting to make themselves available. You can go to hireadaylaborer.org. Their little tagline is workers you can trust, workers you can rely on. Hireadaylaborer.org and do a search for your city there as well. Normally, in it, just about every town, there is a corner somewhere where day laborers tend to congregate. It's kind of a coin toss as to what you're going to get as far as the quality of the person who is part of that group. But it's just, that's a thing. And quite often around big box stores nearby, they're often on the corner outside. And some I know there's, I believe there's one in the West Valley where there's actually a day laborer hiring center off in the corner. Is it the Home Depot over on Victory? Don't quote me on that. I'm just saying there are some big box stores typically, because of the traffic in and out and people who are looking for that kind of help, where you can find that. The best shot you've got is, in my opinion, doing a search online for your city and then trying to find as reputable a place where day laborers are available as possible. So good question. And it's been a tough situation. The pool has dried up because the work dried up. It's been a very tough situation for those workers. By the way, not unskilled, the vast majority of them, not at all. The work you may have for them is unskilled. But the vast majority of them have a great deal of skill. They're just not home, and they're not able to do their professions where they learned them in the first place. All right, we have another John on the line. Let's talk to the other John. John, welcome home.
I guess I wasn't the only caller. Hello?
John?
Yes, hello? Cool. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
What happened? Okay, so I started listening at the start of the show, and you made me laugh this morning, and so I wanted to participate. when you were talking about the duct work, you didn't mention to the guy that that's like second mortgage expensive, which leads me to my problem. I bought portable air conditioners that every day pop the breakers wherever I'm in my house. And someone told me, pop out the 20 amp and put a 30 amp in. So that's the question, if you think that's
okay.
Never
all right.
A good idea.
All right. So first of all, just to clarify, our friend Carlos, who called in about his HVAC question, that was not second mortgage expensive, because he's in the middle of a remodel and he's already doing with that. So for him, it's a relatively inexpensive thing to move his ductwork over. So just wanted to defend my position on that, John. Secondly, no. Breakers are sized to the gauge of the line of the wires that they are running and the amount of amperage running through that line. Breakers are meant to protect those wires from overheating, okay? So it's not just about, well, I plug in this appliance here and it pulls so much amperage, it's popping this breaker. So you know the solution? Just go to the electrical panel and put in a bigger breaker. You know, you can certainly do that if you actually want the wires in your wall to melt down and your house to catch on fire. So that is not the answer. The answer, unfortunately, in your situation is to make sure that you are not overtaxing any one system. Now, you might be plugging in some portable air conditioners throughout the house, but the question is, even though they might be in different rooms, are they actually running on the same circuit? especially tract homes, when it comes to the way that outlets get wired throughout the house. You may have multiple rooms of bedroom outlets, for instance, that are all running or tied together on a single circuit. So it's good to map your electrical panel, to know where, you know, every single outlet in the house, every single fixture, what goes to what breaker. And the key is, if you're going to run a couple of high pull appliances like portable air conditioners or so on, make sure that they are on separate circuits. Like, for instance, these days it's required actually that the outlets in a kitchen in a new build or a remodel be on two separate circuits. We have to have two circuits of outlets in the kitchen, even if we only have like four or five outlets, right? Two separate circuits. Why? Toasters, microwave, you know, these kinds of things that get plugged in at countertop level, they can suck a lot of power. So this way, it helps the fact that we're not popping breakers by putting too much load on a single circuit. So it might mean, in your situation, running an extension cord from another room for the AC that's in the room that you want it to be in, but that's the way it's done. Unfortunately, when your house isn't, you know, providing you that many circuit alternatives, make sure they're on separate circuits. Map the electricity for your house and write your list at the meter so that you know where every outlet belongs to. But don't just upgrade or upsize the breaker at the panel. That breaker is there to protect those wires in the wall to keep them from overheating. You could, in theory, just bypass a breaker and just hardwire that circuit altogether and then run every appliance in the house off of one outlet and burn your house down. That's why circuit breakers exist. All right. Thanks for the question, John. I appreciate it, bud. Good luck with that. But don't upsize that. That's a bad piece of advice that I'm going to say no to. All right. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. We got more to come. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Welcome home. All right, back to the pre-holiday checklist. Not your father's checklist. I don't know why I said that. How is this different than your dad's checklist? I don't know. But things that not everybody thinks of when it comes to getting their homes ready for the holidays. So where am I at in the list here? A few more items for you before we're done today. Let's see here. Deck ceiling. Now is the time, if you have an exterior deck, wood deck outside. Now, if it is in need, if it's one of those years where it's time, do it now, before the rains begin, right? Before the cool weather, before the moisture that settles in begins. Oil-based, please. Oil-based deck sealers. I've seen what water-based deck sealers do, which is pretty much nothing, other than temporarily give you a false sense of security that the deck is protected. Wood loves oil. So a deep oil-penetrating deck sealer, that's the way to go. Obviously, the one that's on everybody's list, everybody and their brother, gutters. If you've got a lot of trees around your house, even if you don't, if it's been a few years before you since you've cleaned out your gutters, if you've never cleared out your gutters, you may not you may not believe you've got leaves in them, but you've got sediment just from dust that has piled up. And believe me, that becomes a hassle in and of itself. So time to clear out the gutters. You might want to consider putting a leaf filter over the top of the gutter. And there are areas of your roof where you may want to not necessarily install a gutter, but at least put a diverter. A diverter is just an L strip of flashing that goes, tucks under the front edge of your roofing material and is secured there. They're really inexpensive and easy to install. And they will keep the sheet flow of your the rain off of your roof from coming down, let's say, right on the front porch or right as you walk out the back slider door. It doesn't gutter and capture and redirect the rain the way a gutter does, but it does divert it from just that area so that you're not getting soaking wet as you're walking through. Fireplace prep is something that more people this season are doing. they're thinking, you know what? I'm going to crank up the fireplace because we need a little holiday spirit in the house after all of these months. I agree. So let's clean out the firebox. There is a fire. There's a heat sensitive mortar repair that comes in like a caulking tube that you can get at the hardware store. If you find that there are cracks or there's mortar missing in between the bricks of your fireplace box, or if you've got a prefab fireplace, it's a refractory panel that you've got there, and you might find that it's cracked too. Use this stuff. It dries very, very fast. And then go ahead and paint out the inside of your firebox with black heat-resistant paint in order to just make it beautiful, and then you don't have to worry about cleaning it so often because it's black, and so the soot doesn't show. You may, if it's been a few years, hire a chimney sweep. They're out there, even in Southern California. Yeah, we had one come to our house just this last week. Why? Because it was time. If you're burning wood in your fireplace, every 1 to 2 cords of wood, you should sweep out the flue to keep it in good shape. Chimney sweep will also run a camera up inside the flue to make sure that there aren't cracks or issues or concerns so that you know you can safely use the fireplace. And if you've got gas logs, get yourself a little package of Platinum Bright Embers. It costs about $30. They're little squares of ceramic wool. And this is not the normal ember kit that comes with your gas logs. These guys, once the flame touches them, they glow bright orange in a way that basically simulates the coal bed underneath a real log set. And let me tell you, this one thing, these $30 Platinum Bright Embers, will make the difference between anybody thinking you have a real fire or not. It's the ember bed. That's what people look for to feel like the fire is real. All right, everybody, tomorrow it's all calls all day. Q&A all day. Nothing but your calls. So don't miss tomorrow's show. We'll be back from 9 to 11. Handle on the Law is up next. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, get out there and build yourself a beautiful life.